Good morning, everyone. If I haven't said hi, I haven't said good morning to all of you, so this is a group. Good morning. Give me a few seconds here. I'm just getting set up. We are talking and started a new series. Craig talked about it last week, about parables. And I'm the lucky guy to start on the first parable. And before we get into the parable that I'm going to talk about, So parables are analogies, right? So Jesus says, the kingdom of God is like this. And then he starts to share something. And analogy is basically, it's a comparison. Here, I got a definition of it. It's a comparison between two things, typically for the purpose of explanation or clarification. So that's what a parable is. If that's an old-fashioned word and you're like, what the heck does that mean? That's basically what it means. It's an analogy. It's a comparison of something. Now, something that we have to be careful with, though, is that when you do that, you can take a comparison too far. And so we don't want to take a comparison beyond the intent of the person that's sharing the parable or the comparison. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'll give you an example. So back in the 1980s, some of you, half of you, weren't alive yet. there was this great commercial, and there was an egg, and it said, this is your brain. And then it cracked the egg and poured it into a frying pan, and this is your brain on drugs. Did anybody remember that joke? Yeah. It was very, very to the point. So think of that. That's an analogy, right? But we could take that analogy too far. We could go like, okay, so the egg was made up of two parts. It was a yolk and a white. So that means the brain's made up of two parts. Well, no, that's not the purpose of the... We're taking it beyond the meaning. Or the drugs. Drugs is the frying pan. So that means that it's hot. So drugs, when they fry... And then the lard. Yeah, see what I mean, though? You could take it too far. Do you understand what I'm saying? There's an intent of a comparison, a parable. And when Jesus was sharing it, he says this thing. Sometimes we can just go, we just go down a deep rabbit hole. You know that expression, rabbit hole? We can go way too far. We need to take the intent of the person sharing it and look at that parable and go, okay, what is the purpose he's trying to get? And not go for a super spiritual, trying to dig down deep and find some hidden mystical meaning. Like, it doesn't work that way. Okay? Okay, that's just a prequel. Okay, so my parable that I'm dealing with is, I can't see a thing without my glasses. There we go. Okay, you got the first slide there, Fanny? So you can see the verse there. So run over to Matthew chapter 13. Now, I'm really fortunate because I literally have the easiest parable to teach on today. And the reason I say that is because Jesus does this parable, and then a few lines pass, and then he explains it. So it's great. It's all explained. It's really simple. So it's not going to be hard to comprehend what's going on today. It's really simple. So what I want to do first is we're just going to read this first section of verses from verse 24 to 30 to hear what Jesus was saying here. So it says, he put another parable before them, saying, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who is sowing a seed in his field. But while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared also. And the servant of the master of the house came and said to him, Master, do you not know good seed is in your field? How then does this have weeds? He said to them, an enemy has done this. So the servant said to him, then do you want us to go out and gather them? But he said, no, lest in gathering the weeds you root up the wheat along with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and at the harvest time I will tell the reapers, gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into a barn. So there you have it. So now what I'm going to do is, you can switch to the next side, if any. So there's another parable taught, and then they get away with Jesus by himself. And I'm not going to read through this. We're just going to put it up there, and we're going to walk through this. I have 6 points, and we're going to dive into the explanation that Jesus gave about this. Okay, and it's quite interesting, and I think you're going to be very encouraged. So let's start with point number one. Point number one comes from verse 37. And Jesus says, the one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. So Jesus is the Son of Man. Jesus is sowing the good seed. Now, I don't know if you know why he said Son of Man. Jesus refers to himself many times as the Son of Man. And I actually forgot. And I'll be honest, I forgot. So I had to look it up. So the reason Jesus calls himself the Son of Man is because of Daniel. So Daniel, literally like 500 years before Jesus, God gives him some crazy dreams, okay? He has these wild dreams of monsters and these creatures uprising and then falling and uprising and falling, and it's basically a telling of certain powers and leaders that came and took over the land, and then they were gone, and then the next leader, and all sorts. And then at the end of that, or part of it, he shares this, what Daniel saw. So I'm going to read this verse to you. You can flip to the next verse there. It's in Daniel. It's Daniel chapter 7. I'm going to read verses 13 and 14. So listen to what it says here, and you can see it up there on the screen. I saw in the night vision, and behold, with the clouds of heaven there came one like a Son of Man. So Daniel's saying, in the clouds, he saw this guy that looked like a Son of Man. So basically he's saying, the guy looked human, right? That's basically what he's saying. And he came to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. Now the Ancient of Days is God, right? And then it says, and to him was given dominion and glory and the kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed. So Jesus is saying, I'm the Son of Man. It was a verb, right? It was adjective, maybe. I'll get my grammar right. I need my daughter. But he was saying, it looked like a Son of Man, saying it looked like a human. Now Jesus has turned it into a noun, and he's saying, I am the Son of Man. I am that one. And hear what Jesus is saying here. He says, Jesus is the one who sows good seed. Jesus is the one who's sowing good seed. That's very important. Okay, so hang on to that thought, and you'll understand that more as we go. Okay, that's point number one. Point number two. It's the first part of verse 38. Back to our scripture in Matthew. Jesus says that the field is the world. Now that's very important, because the analogy he's saying, the story he's comparing, he says this is like the kingdom. The field is like the kingdom, right? The harvest. And he's saying here that it's the world. So this is a big scope. He's encompassing everything. And some people actually make mistakes of that. They don't realize that. And they've used this scripture as in with about church and church discipline and how you have bad weeds and the good weeds and stuff like that. And it's in a church concept. And that's actually a mistake, because you can clearly see here that Jesus is saying the field is the world. Okay? It's the world. So let's not take what's not being said. Let's It's not about church discipline. This is a picture of the whole world, right? You guys can see that clearly? Does that make sense? Okay. Okay, that's a quick one. We're going to go on to the third one. This one will take a little bit longer. Still in verse 38, here's a third point. Jesus says, and the good seed is the sons of the kingdom. The good seeds are the sons of the kingdom. Now, that means daughters, okay? So it's not like just guys. It means mankind, right? That's the good seed. If you are a son of the kingdom, if you are a son and daughter of the kingdom, what does that mean? It means, if you recognize who Christ is, you've asked him and you recognize that you are a sinner and you've fallen from grace and God has made a place for you and you've accepted that and you've become a Christian, then you are of the sons of the kingdom. But look what Jesus is saying here. So the good seed are the sons of the kingdom. Well, what was Jesus doing with the good seed? He was throwing it into the world, wasn't he? So that's you and me. We are the good seed. We're the salt. Remember back that message Maureen gave? We're the light that should not be hidden. We're that city on a hill, right? You are God's work. Think of the analogy. Jesus is sowing good seed into the world. This is Jesus is taking the whole world and he's bringing it down to the most fundamental place you could think of. There's two things: to know God and to make him known. That's the basis of everything in life. And the first one is, if you are a son of the kingdom, then the second part is, you're a good seed. And God is casting you into this world, into this city, into your school, into where you work, when you go to the park, when you're with your friends. You're that good seed that God has planted. When you go to the grocery store, when you're at home with your family, when you're on the internet, you are God's work in the world. Even in bad traffic. That's a tough one. I know. Let me hear an amen. I know. So my question is, God is throwing seed, right? Back to the parable. God is throwing seed over the whole world. And the seed is you and I. If you are a believer, we are that good seed that's being thrown out. And my question for you is, where has he thrown you? What place of influence has he put you in? Now, I'm going to stop my message for a minute. We're going to have a little commercial to hear from our sponsor, Big Guy. What I've asked for, and I thought this is a good time to do it, is I've asked two people to come up and share testimonies, because I want to show you some examples of the good seed at work. Okay? So I've asked Ant to come. So Ant, why don't you come up first? And he's going to quickly share a testimony of something God's doing. Did.
Hi, everybody. I have a cousin. She's a couple of years younger than me. And she lives with her husband and family in Kigali in Rwanda. And if I think of my cousin, then I would say that she's been somebody who's been determined to be a missionary her whole life, you know, since we were young kids. And that has many connotations in it. Obviously, when you're kids, you're kind of like, this one's going to be a missionary. But that is ultimately what she's lived out into her adult life, and is involved in youth work in a church in Rwanda, as far as I understand, and her husband and her are part of non-governmental organization work there. Anyway, she got malaria a couple of weeks ago. And for those of you who understand malaria, you know, malaria kills millions of people every year. And the ways in which it kills you can be multi-organ failure, which is essentially the state that she found herself in hospital in Kigali, to the point where liver, spleen, kidney had all failed. And in the worst manifestation of that, she kind of lost the circulation to the distal parts of her body, to her fingers and toes. Anyway, they managed to stabilize her and then evacuated her and got her back down to Cape Town to an intensive care unit there for further care. And the concern over the first few days was primarily that she was going to end up losing fingers and toes and potentially feet and hands. And obviously in the greater church community that she's been involved in, they were praying into that. We were part of group chats for that. But we were involved in praying for her on Wednesday night in our Connect group, and then on Thursday morning we got news that circulation had improved dramatically, and she's not fully recovered yet, but my understanding is that the surgeons are no longer concerned about amputations. They're still concerned about other things, but there's been a significant healing in that aspect of her care. Yeah.
Cool, eh? That's God working. Amen. What's her name, Aunt? Susanna. So please be praying for Susanna, right? There's more to this story to be told, right? Utaro, can you come up and share? He's going to share another amazing story. Good morning, Utaro. I never even said good morning to you.
Okay, so my name is Utaro. I'm originally from Japan. And my family in Japan, none of them are Christian yet. I'm the only one. I became Christian last year. And so early this July this year, my grandma, who is 86 years old, her kidney just completely failed her all of a sudden. And well, she had to get dialysis. And she was on it for about 1 month and a half, or almost 2 months, and it wasn't getting much better. It was just getting worse and worse. And doctor, my family in Japan, just pretty much giving up on her. Or like, I mean, they still want her to get better, but there was almost no hope. But I've been praying for her, and Paul and Josephine, Samuel and Maureen, they've been praying for her. And early this September, my family was like, well, she might not have much time left. So like, I should come back to see her. But so me and my wife decided to go back to Japan and to see her and pray for her recovery. And I told my mom that I'm not going back to say goodbye to her, but I'm going back to pray for her, and I know that through my prayer, God will heal her kidney. And just before we arrived to Japan, well, Jesus miraculously healed her kidney, and she's off of dialysis now, and she's just getting better now. Yeah. And one more thing is, well, we only had like 3 days and like 30 minutes each day because of the hospital policy, but well, I got to talk to her about the gospel, and she actually received Jesus in her heart. Yeah. And I know it's it wouldn't have been possible without like constant prayers and your faith, our faith. So I wanna encourage everybody, like if you have like not yet believers in your family, well, I wanna encourage you, well, especially in the hard times, God is with us. And it's like the perfect opportunity to share about Jesus. And
thank you, Taro. Isn't that amazing? Aren't those two stories amazing? That's God's seed, right? That's God's seed working. That's so good. So good. Okay, commercial over. Okay, let's keep going. So point four is verse 38. Jesus says, the weeds are the son of the evil one. The weeds are the son of the evil one. So basically, God is showing, like remember I was saying before, it's kind of like he's at the fundamental base of life in this kingdom he's explaining. And there's basically two kinds of people. There's the sons of the evil one, and we saw there's the sons of the kingdom. There's two types of people. It really comes down to that. People either know God or they don't. People either adopt or have been adopted by God because they've received the Holy Spirit, the gift of salvation, or they haven't. You either understand you are a sinner, you need forgiveness, or you don't. You have a relationship with Jesus, or you don't. Either you have God living on the inside, or you don't. It comes down to two people. The most fundamental way you can look at this world is there's two types of people. And I know we can, these are really good people, and this is this, and this is this. But when it comes right down to it, there's two types of people. There's the good seed, and there's the bad seed, according to this parable that Jesus is sharing. And sometimes that's hard to hear when you have friends, when you have family that aren't. But this is what Jesus is saying. There's no middle ground. There's a God that's made a way for us. And he's not willing that any should perish. He wants to reach everyone. He wants to know everyone, to know him. Amen. Okay. Number five. Verse 39. Jesus says, the enemy who sowed them is the devil. So remember what we just said. He said the weeds are from the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. So that's pretty clear. We have an enemy, and he's sending out seed into the field. He's sending out seed into the world. There is actually a force working against us. Anything to do with God. If you are a son of the kingdom, being seed, being light, being salt, then the enemy is working against that seed. He's working against us. But our enemy is not people. Let me make that clear. Our enemy is not people, but it's the spirit behind some people. The spirit in this world. Look at Ephesians 6, chapter 6, verse 12. Very common, quoted many times this scripture. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. this is something real. But we are not fighting against men. We're not fighting against man. But make no mistake, there is evil working against everything that God wants to do. There is. There is evil working. But it's nothing for us to be scared of. We don't have to be scared of it at all. We are the sons of the kingdom. And we are covered by God. Beautifully covered by God. If you struggle with that, and sometimes feel overwhelmed with evil and evil in the world and surpassing you and all that kind of stuff, I encourage you to go read Romans 8. Romans chapter 8. I want to just read to you two verses out of Romans 8. Romans 8, verses 38 and 39. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, no powers, no height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of Christ, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is God's promise. We are His, and we will never be out of that. We can't be separated by that. And so there is this evil in the world, but it doesn't matter. Because you look at the parable, what happens in the parable, right? What happens in the parable? It says, well, actually, that's my next point. Number 6, last one. Verse 39. Jesus says, the harvest is the end of the age. The harvest in the story, when harvest comes, right, then they were going to knock down and they were going to separate all the weeds, burn them up, and then pull all the wheat and take it into the barn. So, this is a picture of the world. Jesus is saying this is a picture of the world. One day, the harvest will happen. One day, it will happen. Just like a crop of wheat, when it's all done growing, when it comes to fruition of what it needs, then it's harvest time, right? There's a time for harvest. And a farmer knows, right? The farmer knows exactly the time to pull in the harvest. He knows when the time has come to be full. One day the end will come. This is what Jesus is sharing about in this parable. He's showing it clearly. The kingdom of heaven is like a field with farmers and seeds and the crop growing, and one day the harvest comes, and that's the end. And that day is the best day and the worst day. It could be your best day and it could be your worst day. You know, I have a handful of amazing best days in my life. First one was when I was 16 and I met Jesus. That's top of the charts. That was the best day in my life that I can remember. Second to that was when I got married to my beautiful wife. Amazing day. Super, super best day. One of the best days of my life. And then I have 7 more amazing best days because I have 7 kids. And any of you have kids, you know that those are like top, top best days of your life when you had children. And those 7 days. And so those days are the best days of my life. But this day is going to be an amazing day. I don't know if I'll be around for it. For the harvest, I might die before the harvest happens. I don't know. But either way, it's an amazing day. My last day will be a great day. Not for everybody else that's sad that I'm gone, but it's going to be my best day. I'm going to be excited. And so my question or approach to you is, I don't know all of you personally. I don't know if you know that you know that you are a son of the kingdom. But if you're not, I urge you to know God. It's not about believing in God. Scripture says that's as good as the devil. The devil believes in God. It's not about believing in God. It's about realizing that we fall short of a holy and pure God, that we have sin on us. And Jesus came, died, took on our place, stood in our place, so that we could be in relationship with him again. And if you don't know that, I implore you, ask him into your heart. If you want to talk to me about that later, or you could talk to Craig, we would love to talk to you about that if you've never seriously taken that to heart, and that you know that you have God on the inside and that you are a son of the kingdom, because then the harvest is the best day. It's the best day, not the worst day. Amen? So let's just close in prayer. Lord, I thank you so much that you have this amazing interest in us, that your heart is pouring over the world, that you are literally pouring over the world from the day you created it to when mankind fell away, and then Jesus came, made a way back for us, and now you walk in our hearts and you send us out as good seed, and you are still, your heart is still for the world. Your heart is still to touch people. Your heart is still to have not one person be left or cast aside. Lord, and I just take a moment right now to pray for everyone here, that if there's anyone here that doesn't know that for sure, Lord, I pray that you would speak to their heart right now. Lord, I pray that you'd stir in their heart to ask you to come in, Lord Jesus, to receive your forgiveness, to start a new life of knowing you. And Lord, I also pray for all of our extended family. I'm sure all of us here have extended family that don't know you. And Lord, I pray that you would continue to sow good seed toward those people. As we begin good seed, Lord, we may not be near them. Lord, I pray for just more and more and more good seed to go around all of our extended family. Lord, that you'd reach them. Lord, that it would be undeniable, Lord Jesus. They couldn't deny that there is a living God and he wants to have a relationship with me. Lord, I pray for testimonies from this room of how their family is turning to God. People are finding Christ. People are being healed. Their hearts forgiven from sin, filled with peace, knowing they're going to a heavenly home when one day this world ends, Lord. Holy Spirit, I thank you for your good work, Lord Jesus, in all of our hearts, Lord Jesus. And may we not take it lightly that we are the good work. Lord, we're the good work that you're doing in this world. May we not take that lightly, Lord. And I thank you for all the good work that you're doing right here, right now, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you.
Thanks, Paul. Have a great Thanksgiving.